Welcome to Gary England's Last Storm. This is Mark.
And this is Dave.
And we're looking forward to Game 10 against the Spurs.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun game. It's always a fun game when we play a Texas team, being that we are from Oklahoma. So it'll be exciting to have us play against the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, I'm excited about getting after it, getting home, and we're going to be here, so we might as well get a win.
Yeah, this will be nice to get our first victory at home this season, so we'll see what happens.
Well, last night's game was really exciting. It was really fun to see us take it to the Nets, and I was really pumped up seeing us get three wins in a row on the road. And then I woke up and I saw ESPN's power rankings, and it really kind of just reminded me of exactly why we got involved in this, because I kind of for a moment thought that those three wins would mean that there were a few believers out there, but when I sent it over to you, I think you had probably the same reaction I did.
Yeah, they ranked us 24th, and it was kind of frustrating because looking at the rankings, the Toronto Raptors are 2-7, and they're ranked 20th. You've got the Atlanta Hawks that are completely out of the East Coast playoff run right now, and they're ranked 19th. You've got the New Orleans Pelicans, who have one less win than us, and they're ranked 18th. The Rockets, 17th. And I don't even understand what they're doing at 17th. They can't even have their guys finish games right now. Like, this is just embarrassing. I don't know. This is what frustrates me the most is recognizing that there's no damn respect for the Oklahoma City Thunder. This doesn't go just this year. If you look back, Russ's last year that we played, this is exactly where they ranked us that year. Yet we end up making the playoffs as a five seed. And then last year, they did the same fucking thing to us. They ranked us 24th all year round, and then all of a sudden, we end up the season ranked number 5 at the end of the year. So it's frustrating because we're a small market team that the NBA is like, oh, well, screw them. We don't really care. Their fan base isn't that big. So we're just going to rank them at 24th.
Every year, there's always doubters. And this year, it was different, you know. And last year, I really felt like it was pretty obvious to me all year long that we were a playoff team. I felt like that we were clearly going to be not just at the 8 or the 7 seed, that we were going to be more of that middle of the pack. I never wavered from that, and that's really what we ended up being. A lot of people doubted that, but what they just didn't understand was that Sam Presti was, you know, serious about keeping that team together, and that Chris Paul's contract was really untradeable at that point. But this year, when you look at it, it's clear to you and me that we're once again going to be a respectable team, that we're going to be in that playoff mix, and now people are still shitting all over us.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to what you and I have been discussing all day today is Mark believes that Oklahoma City Thunder is a playoff team, and I believe that Oklahoma City Thunder will be within 6 games of 5th place, not necessarily a playoff team, but they will be in the run, in the mix for it at the end of the season, which to me is very valuable. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen. But yeah, we're just not getting any respect right now. And the fact is that you and I both feel like we're going to finish someplace within the top 9 of the Western Conference. And there's just no way in the world at this point that ESPN, the Oklahoma City podcast team, the ESPN podcast teams, like, this is getting out of hand. We just want our damn respect. We just want people to look at us and be like, okay, small market team, so what? They've got gutsy players. They work hard. And they're better than the Houston Rockets. I mean, point be taken, Houston Rockets are 3-7, haven't had a guy to be able to finish the game. They have dirty players playing right now. Like, this is just embarrassing.
Right, and I'll just put it out there. I really believe that we're going to be the 5 seed in the West. I really think that we have what it takes. I think if you were to take George Hill and Al Horford and put them on another team, then people would have respect for that. But the question really comes down to our youth. And does our youth have what it takes to sustain what they've shown already at the beginning of the season for the whole season? And, you know, we're 9 games in, and they've shown us a lot. And I expected them to. I didn't think that they would get a lot of playing time unless they were ready. But, you asked the question, why don't we get any respect? And here, like, let's just put it out there. Here are the different reasons that I've heard today why people think that, you know, we're not as good as our record shows, okay? The teams that we've played were no good, okay? There weren't any fans at the stadiums, so that was probably why we were able to win those games. How about this one? The Brooklyn Nets, they just quit. They got up by 15 points, and then they just decided they didn't want to play basketball anymore, and they just quit. In fact, I heard so many people say that one because Steve Nash said it, and then it was just being echoed and echoed by everybody else. That here's a quote. If Brooklyn just knew they had to play hard all night, they would have probably beaten the Thunder 136-129, as if they just didn't know that the game of basketball was dependent on playing hard. And then here's another one. Once teams figure out who the Thunder are, they will still win some games, but they're not going to win very many. And what everybody's saying is just wait until February. Wait until February once this really hard part of the schedule comes up, because that's when we're going to really find out what's going on. Because the really, really hard part of the schedule is just really going to punish us. But you know what? Like, we've already done the hard part, which was showing that we can win after we had faced adversity. Yes, it's going to be difficult to get through the hard part of the schedule at 500. But if we do, then we're going to be in a really good spot for making a good run at the playoffs.
I agree. I think if we can just get through, we have the hardest schedule in the NBA coming up here. And it was ranked the hardest schedule by ESPN. And to me, I look at the teams that we play, it is insane. Lakers, Clippers, Milwaukee Bucks, all these teams twice. And it's going to be interesting to see how we deal with this. But I do think that we're not going to be overlooked by a lot of teams anymore. And because of that, we're going to get respect. And I do think that this is going to be really interesting to see how our guys play. But our goal, like Mark and I were talking earlier, is if we can get to 500 through this section of our schedule, then we're going to be looking really, really good at being a playoff team.
Right. And the other day before the game, Coach was asked about what he felt like, what was going on, and what was important to the wins, and what he felt like was important for the season's focus. And I thought what he said was really important. I wanted to play that for everybody because he just really focuses on not being result-orientated, but focusing on the process. And that was, you know, when you decide that you're not going to get too high on wins or too low on losses, it really helps a team, especially a young team. And when he said after we beat the Knicks that they were not too focused on the result, but they were focused on the process and waking up every day and it being 0-0 that day, I really believe him. And I've heard people say similar things, nothing exactly the same, but this is the first time I've ever really believed somebody that they were going to really trust the process. And I really thought it was an excellent answer, and I wanted to play that for everybody.
I mean, the outcomes of the games right now are just what they are. We're putting our best foot forward and seeing where that lands us. And then the most important thing is our preparation and then our reflection. You know, we're just trying to make sure that our feedback loop individually with the players and as a team is really, really tight and that we're learning and growing. And so, you know, the outcomes of the games right now are kind of secondary to that process, win or lose.
Yeah, just to echo what Coach said, having that 0-0 mindset is incredibly important. I think it will be really important to see how the guys react to the hard schedule coming up. But if we start every single day with a 0-0 mindset, I do believe that gives us an advantage on a daily basis to be able to compete at a high level against these incredibly gifted teams that we're going to be playing here soon.
I want to ask everybody one question. Like, why are we so apprehensive? Why is it so hard to believe what we see? Because this team is playing great basketball. The style of basketball is an evolution. It is so much better than anything that I've seen coming from the Thunder in so long. And really ever, honestly, if you count, going all the way back, like the ball is moving, it's finding the open person, the shots are coming from natural flow of offense. It looks a lot more like that Warrior style of basketball than anything we've ever seen before from the Thunder. And I'm really excited about it. So why is it so hard for everybody just to decide that they're going to believe what they see?
I think it's hard because of what everybody else is saying and putting in their heads about tanking. It's all about tanking. It's all about this. It's all about we have to be bad to be able to get good. And I think people believe that. I don't think the reality of what Sam is trying to do is truly hit the fan base of Oklahoma City. Do I think it's going to be like that for a while? No, because I think people are going to finally start smelling what he's stepping in, and they're going to start recognizing that Sam isn't here to tank. What he wants to do is give a good team to the Oklahoma City Thunder fans every single year and to Clay Bennett, who I believe deserves to have a team right now that is a winning team and not tanking.
Winning comes in different forms. You know, if we were trying to always keep the same team we had out there 10 years ago, you know, we wouldn't necessarily be able to do that. But if you look at being able to evolve and go through transition, that's an important part of the process for winning. When I see everybody out there who is just so surprised with what Diallo is doing and what Dort is doing and what Baisley is pulling off and what SGA is consistently able to do, and they say, well, Sam is surprised too, as if they like know. But the fact is, like, Sam puts players in positions to succeed. And when he believes players are ready, he clears the way. And that's what he does. And yes, it means sometimes that they're going to be put in positions where they have to be challenged, but you don't ever learn unless you're challenged and you have a chance to fail. And I just wanted to play this clip from Sam Presti whenever he was doing his beginning of year press conference. And for all those people who think, oh, Sam doesn't know how good these players were, he just wanted to throw the players out there and see what they could do, you know, I really don't believe that. I believe that he believed in these players and he was willing to give them an opportunity, and he was willing to put them in a little bit like throw them into the deep end of the pool and force them to adjust and force them to swim. But there really is no other way to learn. And so I just wanted to play this for everybody and let them hear what he had to say about it.
I think with any young player, I think any experience is critical. I mean, you're really not going to find like a lot of history is not going to show a lot of players that have gone on to become effective NBA players at a high level that don't get to play or don't get opportunity, even if it's small, it leads into bigger opportunity. I mean, shoot, we saw Serge Ibaka get 2 minutes in Detroit. I think maybe the third or fourth game of the season. He turned that 2 minutes into 10 minutes, into 12 minutes. And next thing you know, he's blocking 8 shots in a first-round playoff series against the Lakers. But if he doesn't get those 2 minutes, then it never happens. I think Lou is another great example. I wish we could take, you know, a lot of credit for knowing that Lou Dort was going to be a guy that was going to be starting at the end of the season. But Lou Dort, you know, he's playing because we had some injuries and we didn't have anybody really to play in that position without really jumbling up the rotation. We were playing Utah and Portland, and he got thrown out there and, you know, didn't fail. And next thing you know, he's Lou Dort. So these things come down to opportunity. They come down to preparation. I do think it comes down to creativity and thinking outside the box, recognizing that you have to invest in the short term to get the benefits long term. And sometimes you stumble onto a few things too and get lucky, probably more often than not. Like, that's where a lot of things happen in the NBA, is mostly good fortune, things falling your way. But the playoff experience in the bubble, I don't even know if I would call that playoff experience, to be honest with you, Cliff, because there's no crowd. There's no travel. It's just a very unique experience. I don't know if we'll ever be back in that again, but I would tell you that it has great value, but it's not like true playoff experience, because there just wasn't the atmosphere and the environment that we generally know to be the playoffs. Now, still, it's extremely competitive, and you know, the best teams advanced and the best teams won by all means, but it was a little bit different. The one thing I do think that all three of those guys have benefited from is you know, those guys were forced into different situations. I mean, Baze was starting because, you know, Gallinari didn't play some back-to-backs, and like, just kind of sometimes like being over your head a little bit, like that can, as I said before, really kind of like pull like or expose like your resiliency factor and your optimism and your humility and what's kind of driving you day in and day out. And you know, I had dinner with Baze down in the bubble a couple of different times, and like, I just loved his mentality, because he was just learning and just taking every game, good or bad, and throwing it into his experience and realizing that it's all a path for him to figure out how good a player he's ultimately going to be. I think he's got a great mind for that. I think Diallo's got a great mind for that too. You know, I think I may have said this before, but you know, Diallo is a guy that, you know, he's come into every camp and carved out a role on the team. I mean, he was starting on a team due to some injuries, but he was in the rotation with PG and Russell and Carmelo and that team. The following year, when that team turned into Dennis and Jeremy and Steven and Russell and PG, he was in the rotation there, and he lost his spots due to injuries. And then got down to the bubble during the training camp, and he won a spot in that rotation. and then we shortened the rotation in the playoffs, and he lost a spot there. But like, he's going to be ready to go. Like, he's another guy that'll be ready to go. So I think all those guys have been pushed to limits in which they're uncomfortable, and they've shown the ability to bounce back from setbacks. That's a big part of our organization, and it's the reason I think we've had success with some younger players over time, and the resilience that they've shown. But I also think as an organization, we've prided ourselves on being resilient and looking at some of the things that have happened over the course of time, whether they're injuries or players leaving or, you know, some tough luck with the CBA, or, and said, okay, we have to respond to this. How are we going to respond? It's all about what we can control from here. And I think that is the mindset we want to hold. I think we have to have that. I also think that's very, very much what runs through the blood of people in Oklahoma. And we want to represent that. Resiliency, commitment. Look, we're happy being David to Goliath. You know, we want to own that. That's what we're built on. We're not looking for half measures around here. We want to strive to see if we can be great. And we're willing to take the paths that require extreme competitiveness to do that.
I think it's crucial that we should talk about how Sam has been able to collect the assets and the draft picks that he has over the last 18 months. I think if you look back at the original trade that Sam picked up, and picked up Steven Adams for James Harden and some other assets, I think if you look at that trade as the beginning part of what Sam tried to do, I don't think there was another time that Sam got beat in the trade after that. I think Sam learned a lesson, and I think because of that, if you look at all the trades that he has completed since, is truly insane. So over the next 6 years, you're going to see Sam draft a lot of different players. And when you hear people say that we're tanking and there is no way that we should be winning right now, I think it's just a bunch of bullshit. And the reason is because we can depend on other teams through this next 6 years to get really bad, and we should be able to capitalize on those draft picks.
Right, and if you're like me and you're like Dave and you want to keep track of those draft picks and all the conditions and all the ways that they can be converted into second-round picks or transitioned into the next year, I just want to let everybody know that you can go to rollingthunderup.com, and right up there there will be a little tab that says draft assets, and it has all the first round, all the second round picks, and all the trade exemptions. And with those first round conditions, it lets you know what happens to the picks if they don't convert that year and what they transition to. So you can keep track not just of like what the Warriors are doing, so you know what happens with that pick, but you know if their pick doesn't go, that it will convert into 2 second rounders or different information like that, which will help you be a better fan, you know, more informed fan anyway. So I want to let everybody know, yeah, we pay attention to all those picks and we're all in on it, and we know what's going on with that. And that's incredibly important to us too, because without that, yeah, I would be, you know, feeling a little bit more like, probably along with these tank commanders, that we needed to do something more drastic to improve. But when you look at, I think the lesson that Sam learned when he had to trade James Harden was, you don't want to get to a point where you're a contender and have no assets left, because if you can't improve, then you're going to be forced to trade something that's very valuable. And if we get to the point where we're knocking on the conference finals, if we're getting to the finals again, we're not going to be trading one of our cornerstones anymore, because we have all those draft assets.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that was the most important lesson that Sam learned, was everybody talked about the $5 million that Sam didn't want to go over for James Harden. But I think it was much more complicated than that. I think he recognized that we had the weakest spot on our floor was the center position. And I felt like there was enough question mark at the small forward position, in the backup small forward position, and the power forward position, that Sam felt like he could address them during the draft. Now, only one of those picks really ever turned out, and that was Steven Adams. But I think it was really important that Sam recognized that winning and being in the conference finals and in the championship doesn't guarantee you to be able to improve. And I think it's important that we all recognize that Sam started an evolution of how to use his draft assets and how to use his players to get more draft assets. So it's really cool how he was able to build what he has in the last 10 years, 8 years. And I'm excited to see how this all turns out.
Right. And I know, like, Bill Simmons likes to just, like, drop everything at that, and the whole James Harden was the end of the story and everything. But we got within a game of getting to the finals again against the Warriors, and they were historically good. And we would have faced down against LeBron again, and that would have been an incredibly difficult challenge. But this assumption that was the end of the story, like, there was a lot of good basketball after that. And there was a lot of reasons to believe that we were contenders, and there were a lot of circumstances that worked against us. But I think there were a lot of lessons learned. And I really am excited about watching the progression of this team. And I really believe these young players, SGA, Dort, Hami, Bazley, Roby, Maladon, Williams, and Poku. Like, to me, like, that core is so exciting to watch. And I get excited about every game. And every game, one of those players does something. More than one of those players does something that completely surprises me. And I feel like this is one of the most exciting times to be a Thunder fan ever. And when I hear people just shitting on the team and acting like, oh, well, just wait and see. You know, honestly, it makes me frustrated, but then it just reminds me of why we're doing this, because, you know, this is an opportunity for us to prove that we're different. You know, if everybody was just sitting around and singing Kumbaya and talking about how much they love the team, there really wouldn't be any space for us. But when people are just being ignorant, it gives us an opportunity.
Yeah, and if I could ask everybody to do something, is this next week, as the Thunder are playing, stop listening to the negativity. And even stop listening to our podcast if you have to, but focus on what the Thunder are doing. Take your own assessment of what the Thunder are doing, not what everybody else is saying. And I guarantee you, you're going to recognize that this Thunder team is not a joke. This Thunder team is incredibly good. And the fact is that we have a young star point guard blossoming before our eyes is something that is so incredible that you have to be able to stop and just take that in. And if we have three guys that get injured and we miss the playoffs, really, you know, by 15 games, still watch these young guys play. It's completely worth it. I get excited watching them because these are the cornerstones of our team through the next 10 years.
We have 7 players who are averaging double figures. And there were so many times where in the past as a Thunder fan, the scoring was just so unbalanced that it was fun and exciting to watch the superstars play. But it also felt like there was another level that they could have reached if they could have trusted the offense, and they never did. It always lacked a flow, and I see that flow. And I think Al Horford is an excellent center for this type of offense. I think George Hill is an excellent point guard / shooting guard. And then when you take it and you add in all of those key stars, those young stars, then it's really a great opportunity. And then that bench unit is just, it started to come alive, and there's so much further that they can go. They haven't even started to really show everybody what they're capable of yet, or even themselves.
It's a great point that you bring that up, because last night, our leader off the bench, our leading scorer, our leading minutes off the bench, wasn't there. Mike was injured, and yet our second team was able to step up like they did. It was an incredible thing to watch, and it proves that what you and I have been saying all year is our bench is incredibly strong, is incredibly overlooked, and it's one of those things that soon that people will not be able to overlook, because our bench has outscored our starters in 3 of the 4 games and 1 of the halves. And that right there should show you that this second team is not just a second team, but they're a 1A team.
Right, and a lot of people don't know the players' names, and so that makes them apprehensive to really trust the second unit. But the truth is, if you just watch the level of basketball they're playing, it's really high, and you can really anticipate that it will continue because the second units on these other teams really aren't that great.
Yeah, you're right. And I think it's important that we bring up our young guys, Maladon, and the way that he's been able to mature incredibly over the last 9 games. I think it's one of those things that if there was a redraft at this moment, he would be drafted in the top 15, top 17 players.
Right, he's averaging like 6 points a game, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and almost 1 steal. And it's clear he's taking his time to figure it out, but he's figuring it out.
I feel like the Thunder did not only an amazing job drafting this year, but we did a very informed job drafting. I felt like us trading up to go get Poku was a little bit of a question mark because of Maxey was still on the board, and I felt like we should have taken a stab at Maxey, but at this point, watching how Poku is playing, I wouldn't trade our pick for anybody because Poku is going to be one of those players in the near future where we're all looking and being like, how was this guy drafted 17th?
I think a player like Poku, it's just about development and having the space to grow. But the truth is, this is a great system. If the players are willing to put in the work, there's an opportunity for them. And that's what I've noticed. And I think from what I hear, Poku's doing that right now.
Yeah, he's doing so well. And I feel like the way that he is impacting the game in so many more aspects than just scoring is really awesome to watch. I think he's averaging 5 rebounds a game right now, or 4.5, something like that. So I feel like he's doing a really great job at impacting the game when he's out in the game, because he's only putting up 15.5, 16 minutes a game right now.
Right, and he's almost averaging a block, and like you said, 4 rebounds. And he's just really getting it done with that assist also, 2 points. You know, his shot, doesn't have very much arc to it, and he definitely looks like he's rushing it. But I have a lot of confidence that with time it will come, because he's really just figuring out the pace of the game right now.
This is somebody that we have to be patient with and appreciate the minutes that he gets, because when push comes to shove, next year is going to be the year that we're going to really see what he's capable of doing.
Right. And probably the biggest surprise off the bench to me has been Isaiah Roby. He's averaging 8.5 points, 3.7 rebounds, and he's just really getting it done. He's just been everywhere.
Yeah, again, this is something that proves going through the G League works. I'll say this again. He's becoming my favorite player on the Thunder. I love the hustle. I love the way that he comes off the bench and just plays all out. He is an incredible athlete, and I think he's one of those guys that as he gets bigger, I think he could play the center position more like he did last night and make them play him out. And I feel like he did a really good job does a really good job at playing multiple positions.
Then you have Moose, and Moose wasn't playing last game, but he's been the leader of that bench unit. He's been putting up 10 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, an assist, and 1 block.
Yeah, he's definitely not all about just shooting, like we've heard a lot of people say. In fact, I was listening to a podcast the other day, Oklahoma City Podcast, that the guy literally said, Mike is a great 3-point shooter, but that's it. And that's why I get frustrated, because if you look at what he's doing every single game, you can see he's doing much more than just shooting the ball. He's doing so much more. So,
well,
again,
it's clear that these people either don't watch the games or don't know how to watch the games.
Yeah, I feel like that what they're doing is essentially looking at the stat line and saying, oh, bad game, bad game, bad game. Let's talk about the bad games. Instead of looking at the fact that if you watch every single minute of the game, there's no way in the world that you could walk away and say, holy cow, this kid's going to be good someday. This guy is doing much more than just shooting threes. So for me, that's what's frustrating, is they're just looking at the stat line and acting like they're watching the game.
Right, and then we have our starters, and we have, you know, two groups with our starters. We have the vets, who Hill and Horford are both averaging about 11 points a game, and they're just really getting it done. They're both kicking in the rebounds, the assists, the steals and the blocks. Like, they're just getting it done. But really the focus for me is that young group. I mean, when you think about Baisley, SGA, and Dort, I think about the future.
Yeah, I mean, you've got one guy that has 3 years of experience, and then you have two guys that only have 2 years of experience there. And I think it's interesting that you brought that up again, because if you look at it and the player's under 23 years old, you have to put all three of those guys in the category of top 5 in their positions.
Well, we're getting ready to play the Spurs coming up tomorrow at 7. And we're really excited because, you know, the Spurs are in front of us in that power ranking. So that's a reason to just knock them off. I mean, their record isn't as good as us. So let's go ahead and take it to them. And I'm ready to prove to everybody that, you know, we're not a fluke.
Yeah, this is another huge game for us. We're going to have a lot of these coming up. I think this is a winnable game, completely winnable game. And I think the way that we are playing and the way that we stretch out the floor really brings a disadvantage to the old style of basketball that we see with the San Antonio Spurs.
I agree with that, and I really am looking forward to us getting after it and getting that first win, like you mentioned, at Chesapeake.
It will be exciting to watch tomorrow night.
Well, the game's at 7, the Oklahoma City Thunder going to take on the San Antonio Spurs. We look forward to talking to you after the game.
Thanks for listening to Gary England's Last Storm. This is Dave.
And this is Mark. Thunder up.